No, I am. I'm very excited to be back. I really am. I snuck in a week early. I'm not supposed to be here. Already said, don't tell Pastor Stephen to my team, and then I ran into him. But I did have a teammate who ran interference well. He was like, he totally blocked me. Stephen didn't even know I was here. You know, it was good. So I want to start by doing something a little bit different because, you know, I needed to kind of ease back in. You know, I haven't been here in a few weeks. I'm a little rusty. I didn't even know how to talk on a mic. I had to figure out how to push the button up. And so I wanted to start with something different. So I got made fun of to start with about my shirt. I was very excited about my shirt. I have been looking at this shirt for about a month to a month and a half and figuring out, when can I wear this shirt? When can I wear... Well... I did, and he said, yes, Dad. He said, anything for you, Dad, because you're the greatest. And I said, yes. So, I was figuring, like, when can I wear a shirt that's incredibly small, because my muscles are big, Dan. It got smaller over the month and a half that I was waiting to wear it anyway. So, like, when can I wear a 3D glasses shirt? Like, when? And then I was thinking, you know what? We're going to do something different because I'm like, I haven't been here in a few weeks, and so I want to do something kind of crazy, and I'm going to wear this shirt, and then we're going to play Kenny Loggins. Go. Yes. Yes. I need Danger Zone louder than that, though. This is not Danger Zone. This is like... This feels kind of like the mildly scary zone, but not like the danger zone. Come on, can I get some? Give me some volume. Yeah. Gosh, have you not watched Top Gun with your surround sound? There we go. Give me some Top Gun. All right. All right. Now I'm feeling it. Okay. So you're probably asking what. What does Kenny Loggins and my 3D glasses shirt that's too small, shut up, I know it is, shirt have to do with anything at all? It doesn't. It has nothing to do with anything. But we're going to have fun, and because I like to have fun, and we're going to start tonight with some trivia. So we have been doing a lot of movie quotes for whatever reason in this in these classes. Maybe that's my fault because everything I do is movie quotes. But we're going to play a game. All right, so Chris, the music's going to come down, and what we're going to do is we're going to label these tables. This is going to be 1, 2. I was going to make that one 1, but evidently nobody wanted to sit at table 1. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and y'all are 6. So we're going to do this. So I've got some 80s movie quotes. 80s movie quotes. So the way this is going to go, because we don't have buzzers and people hopefully are not going to get too upset and mad if they raise their hand first. The first one that I see, I'm going to call on. And if you get the quote right, I need the movie, though. And you don't have to do the everything, like who said it in the movie. But the movie needs to be right, at least. And I'm going to be a stickler, too. I'm just going to say that. If you tell me, like, oh, it's, you know, no, it needs to be the actual movie, then you get a point. Then what you get is the table that wins, I went, and we have a bucket of candy that originated in the 80s. Believe it or not, Skittles. We thought this was around forever. This originated in the 80s. Look at this. Big League Chew, y'all. Yes. Airheads, Push Pops, Nerds, you... All of it. And then I got the closest thing to an 80s Easter bucket I could find, the Ninja Turtles. Yeah. This is the new ones, not the cool ones, but the old ones originated in 87. I love the Ninja Turtles. Stood in the Pasadena town or the Pasadena Mall. It was a very scary place, but we stood there for hours to watch that show. Our parents didn't care about us. So here we go. I'm going to start out with a very, very, very easy one. We're going to ease into this. And the first one. I am your father. And no, it's not God. I got you. I saw you. I got you. That's it. That's it. Okay. Number three. Okay. Guys, I told y'all I was going to be a stickler. You can't just tell me Star Wars. Okay. Here we go. Here's the next one. This came out in 1982, y'all. I was so old. They're here. Oh, I got you. Boom. Poltergeist. What is that? Yeah, yes, yes. The original. Thank you. It didn't say that, so you got it. All right. Guys, if y'all don't get this one, I'm disappointed in all of y'all. 1984. Wax on. Wax up. Yes. One. Yeah. The original, yes. Not two, like back in Japan or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's another one. Like I said, we started out a little easy. Okay. 1984. I'll be back. Yeah, you're gonna help me. You watch. You got me. That's it. Whew. Yes. Hey, I appreciate that. Whatever takes the attention off my too small shirt. So, like, he's short, my shirt's too small. Anyway, all right. We'll give you a half point, and that'll be the tiebreaker. Okay, 1985, y'all. Here we go. This is one of my favorites. This is silly, but I know you are, but what am I? Oh, who do we got? Who did it? Who? Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. How many of y'all didn't – tell me y'all like some Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And, hey, did Large Marge just scare the mess out of you? Because it did me. Like, I was young. I was like, what in the world? Like, it was scary. But I wanted his bicycle so much, man. Like, I just thought I would be the coolest. Anyway, wasn't. Okay, guys, here's another one of my favorites. I watch this, like, daily, it feels like. So this might be a little bit harder. We're getting harder. 1986. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Oh, my gosh. This is so good. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was really good. I'm impressed. Dude, one of my favorites. Man, I wanted to dance in a parade and sing so bad after that. And I thought I could be, was it Matthew Broderick? I thought I could be him, and I'm not at all. Yeah, but anyway, I tried it. Guys, y'all, I just want to coincide this next one with something that's making my heart really happy, and I'll tell you why after somebody gets this. This next one, 1989. This is so silly to even say. Anyway, four score and 7 minutes ago, oh my gosh. I didn't even get to finish it. So anyway, I'm gonna finish it with be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. Yes, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yes, and see, that's why my heart is, they're making a part three. It's happening. Yes. Both of them are in it, too. Okay, now, I know this has been a bunch of kind of dude movies, and I apologize, but I got something for the ladies. Here we go. I was in here yesterday, and you wouldn't wait on me. Oh. Yes. Guilty pleasure. Loved Pretty Woman. Love that movie. I don't know why. It was the Lotus at the beginning. That's what got me. It was the car. It wasn't anything else. It was the car. All right. Oh, guys. Come on. Here we go. Hey, you guys. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Still watch that, like, monthly. I watched that with my kids the other day. Fixated. They were on the couch. They didn't even move. I'm like, I'm Moana and Goonies every week. That's not a knife. That's a knife. Oh, over here. Yes, loved Crocodile Dundee as well. All right. I feel the need for speed. Who I think he's got, he called it. Okay. What is that? Okay. And probably my favorite 80s movie of all time. And we're going to finish with this. Nobody puts Baby in a Corner. Okay. I can't believe y'all watched that movie. That's a terrible movie. No. So what do we got? Who won this thing?
Y'all got 1 point. Team 6 has 1. Team 5 has 0. Team 4 has 3 points. Team 3 has 2 points. First of all, I'd like to thank my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'd like to thank all the little people who helped me get here, Stephen and Ashley. I'd like to thank Jay and Matt, but they didn't help at all. So, with that being said, I want to drop this, but it cost too much.
Yes, we don't drop mics at the church. All right. Okay. I appreciate y'all humoring me and allowing me to wear the shirt. Anyway, thank y'all very much. All right, let's get into something like slightly more serious. Who has the memory verse? I know somebody's got it. Please. I know y'all did the memory verse. This is an important one. Oh, please. Come on. You got this.
Romans 10, 9 through 10.
No, you're good. You got it. That is awesome. Very, very good. Let's give her some. Come on. And how important is that scripture right there? Because I think a lot of times we have these preconceived notions that we have to do all these things before God will allow us to come into his kingdom. And what did that scripture just say? Yeah, that's it right there. So, guys, everybody should have that memorized. I'm just going to pick on you. Oh. See, I haven't been here in a few weeks, so now I'm all disappointed. Yes. Tell me why we just went through 80s movie quotes, and I couldn't get people to stop raising their hand for 80s movie quotes, and then, like, a scripture came up that was, like the foundation of our faith, and everybody's like, hiding. But y'all know Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Nobody puts baby in a corner until they have to say Romans 10, 9 through 10. Good Lord. All right, guys, whatever. Y'all need to know these things. All right. I know somebody did their homework and read, right? What do we got? What did y'all get from y'all's soap? Let's start with this. It's going to be an easy one. What chapters did we read? What did we read? And 1 Corinthians. Okay, awesome. Anybody get anything out of that? Any extrapolation? Anything? Anything jump out at you? Oh, come on, guys. I know somebody read it and somebody's like, man, there's some good stuff in there. Anybody? Nobody? Oh, what you got? Yeah. But, and that's a good point. And he says that our riches, they're not made in gold or made in the things that the world says that makes a man. And so that's a good point. And then he goes on, and what I liked was in chapter 2, and it starts talking about wisdom from the Spirit. We get the wisdom and the understanding of who we are in Christ from the Spirit. And it even says we wouldn't even be able to understand these things. We wouldn't know and have the mind of Christ. It would be foolishness to the individual that is not seeking and allowing the Spirit to impart those things to him. And so it's so important that we're connected with the Holy Spirit. It is vital that we connect with the Holy Spirit daily in order to understand who we are and who God has created us to be and the things that God would show us. So, guys, this stuff is so important to read. It's important to understand because when we read this, it edifies us. It builds us up. It shows us who we are and who we were created to be. And as we're moving into this next section, we need to hear this. We need to be connected with the Holy Spirit at a greater and greater level every single day because we're moving into why we're called to do what we're doing and what God has called us into the ministry to do. And I'm not just saying into like a full-time ministry thing. In your job, in your workplace, whether it be secular, whether it be ministry, this is important. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we're not connected to him and we're not studying this and we're not reading this and knowing what God has for us, we can't do it. We're useless. We're not an instrument for God. So with that, I'm going to transition to Pastor Dan, because I've taken up way too much of his time with my 80s thing. Pastor Dan.
Cool. Thanks, man. That's fun. I love, who doesn't love 80s movies? Hey, are both these waters for me?
Yes.
Just keep me hydrated? Okay, appreciate that. That's good stuff. Hey, Kim, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Somebody on this back table here, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Over here, guys, somebody pick up Jeremiah 1, 5 through 10. And then at the front table, Jeremiah 20, 7 through 9. Okay? I'll get to you in just a second. The title of this lesson tonight, guys, is The Purposeful Pursuit of Your Potential. It's not good enough to just be convinced that I have potential in life. I had somebody say one time, man, that kid's got potential, you know? Everybody has potential. If you have a heartbeat, you have potential. Like, there isn't just some people that don't have potential. Every single person, you're never going to lock eyes with somebody that doesn't matter to God, and you're never going to lock eyes with somebody that doesn't have the potential to be something greater than they are. Because anybody is a vessel that God is willing to fill. And when the presence of God comes into somebody's life, then God does something miraculous through them, right? Are you with me? So I love the title of this, The Purposeful Pursuit of Your Potential. So it's not just enough to know that there's potential in me, but why? Why am I going to pursue that potential? What is the purpose behind that? So we want to move you from really just getting excited about the idea of potential. We say that all the time around here, don't we? Your God-given potential is our mission. And it is. And I've never been a part of a church that's so intentional about helping people take next steps towards fulfilling their God-given potential. Now, you're not going to end up graduating from Grow Track 3 with a certificate that says, now you have entered fully into your God-given potential. It's quite possible that you'll be on this journey, okay, towards pursuing God's potential in your life. I read the other day that that it's not so much that God has a plan for our lives. Now, we agree with that. We would all agree with that. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. But many times it's easier for us to grasp that God has a path for us, that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? So there is a plan for us, and that God's designed that plan. That ultimate plan is for us to have intimate relationship with the Father. That is why Jesus came, to restore relationship with the Father. And the greatest plan is for us to be a part of his kingdom and move into, like, I'm going to die at some point, and I'm going to be with him for eternity. But my path, each and every day, that next step, right, is what we're pursuing all the time. So we want to get you begin to work through the realization of what that pursuit looks like. How do I begin to put these pieces together? We call that the call of God on your life. And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you have a call on your life. You have a call. In Missouri, it was yins. Yins have a call on your life. Yins, come on out to the house. We're going to have some grub. Like, I don't even know what a yins is. It's like a foreign car, like the Yugo. The yins is the second version of the Yugo. Anyways, understanding your call. There was an old, talking about 80s, there's an old 80s worship song that we used to sing. Pastor Tal, you remember this? Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. I think it originated in the 80s, and we were still singing it. Go to some of these country churches, and some of you have been there, and they're still singing Jesus on the main line, tell them what you want. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus on the main line, tell them what you want. Call them up. It's not that type of call. But it is paying attention to what is God speaking. And really, it has a whole lot more to do with, am I listening to him? And am I willing to obey him, right? So the call of God to each and every one of us, we're going to get into that. Number one, everyone is equally called by God to do what he has created them to do. Ephesians chapter 2. Kim, read that for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Okay, somebody give me a quick summary of what is Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay. First, we're all sinners. Like, we all started off pretty jacked up. In fact, we were all dead before Christ ever got to us, right? Dead in our transgressions. You're not, again, Jesus didn't come to make good people better, you know, or bad people good. Like, he came to make dead people alive. We were all dead. And I love how Paul says, this is where we all were. We were all dead. And it was by the gift of God, by the grace of God, that we've been saved, not by works that anybody can boast. But now that you are saved, now that God has saved you, now that you have moved from death to life, he has now created, you are the masterpiece of God. He's created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Everyone is equally called by God to do what he has created them to do. Every single person that moves from death to life in Christ now has a purpose. Number two, everyone is equally responsible to respond to the call and fulfill it. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Who has that? Okay.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne. And the end of his robe filled the temple. The seraphim were standing above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory filled the whole earth." The foundations of the doorway shook. Sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips. And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and his hands were like a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips,
so you have the prophet Isaiah who's seeing a vision, right? We get an incredible picture of Christ in this picture, in this verse of scripture, don't we? Like what Christ has done. And Isaiah gets a picture of God. he feels immediately completely aware of his sin. Like, have you ever been in a service where you just, the conviction of God is just all over you, and you just realize, like Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips. Like, I am a, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Guys, that's the presence of Jesus. When he enters into the room, we move into a place of conviction. Why? Because his holiness, right? And we see God, the sin in our lives. And that's Isaiah. And he's like, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm seeing things that I shouldn't be seeing. And he grabs a coal from from the altar. He takes it down and he touches his lips and he's holy. And this is in Isaiah's response. You know, God asks this question, and it's basically a question across the earth. Whom shall I send as a messenger to the people? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. The call of God is not optional for those who choose to follow him. Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone is equally responsible to respond to the call and fulfill it. Listen, every time you come to a place where God convicts you of sin and you repent of it and you say, God, change me. Listen, repentance is what? What's repentance? Incredible. You guys are so smart. Repentance is simply turning from one way and going the next. Well, what am I turning from and what am I turning to? Well, I'm turning to the call of God, aren't I? I'm saying, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm going to live this way. God, here am I. Send me. Move me in the direction of your call on my life. Everyone is equally responsible. Every time we hear the voice of God speak to us, we're now responsible for what that voice says. Every time we put ourselves in front of the Word, we are now responsible for what God's calling us to do. Number three, the call of God is not optional for those who choose to follow him. The call of God is not optional for those who choose to follow him. Jeremiah 1, 5 through 10. Who has that? Okay.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, but I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them.
Prophet Jeremiah, called by God. Hey, let's pause just for a second. Like, Jeremiah is like, listen, I can't do that. And God's like, don't tell me what you can and can't do. Like, I didn't call you because you're equipped, because you're some great speaker. I called you because you're available, right? And so God begins to tell him, okay, this is the call on your life. Now I want you to go. And how many of us would sign up to go and like preach like a great encouraging message? Yeah, like all of us, right? Go out and tell people how much I love them and how good they're doing in life. Jeremiah's call was not that. I want you to go out there and I want you to tell people that destruction is on its way. Like bad things are getting ready. Like, Jeremiah, are you kidding me? Like, seriously? Like hard stuff, right? Who has 20 verse 7 through 9? Did I ask somebody to sing that one? To read that one? Jeremiah 20. I'm sorry, 9 and 10.
But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was worried, holding it back. I could not, for I hear many mocking, fear on every side. report, they said, and we will report it. All of my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be endued. Then, excuse me, then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him.
Okay, so Jeremiah, again, gets the call of God and goes out. He speaks the call of God, and then he says, then he's super honest with God. He's like, man, you misled me. Like, I didn't know that I was going to go out there and then be beaten and mistreated, and, like, my name is made dirt. Like, and these people, they want to get revenge on me. And I even said to myself, like, I'm done. I'm out. See ya. Peace out, Jesus. See you later. Like, I'm checking out. White flag. I'm done. But then Jeremiah says, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. Like, I told myself that I wouldn't speak the word of God anymore, but the fire of God has so consumed me that I can't help but tell people. And the call of God on our lives becomes this thing that's, it's all consuming. The scriptures call them a consuming fire. And when the call of God grips your heart, it's like, even if my life comes to death because of the call of my life, like, I can't help it because it's like fire shut up in my bones. And when you get a hold of the fire of God and you get a hold of the call of God on your life, like, nothing else matters. Am I right, Talia? Like, when God places his hand upon your life, there have been times in the almost 20 years that I've been serving God that I've been like, forget it, man, I'm out. Like, it's not worth it. I don't want to do this anymore. And it's in those moments that all of a sudden I realize, man, but I can't help but do this. This is what God's called me to do. There was the first time that when I was a teenager and I wanted to go into ministry, and I decided to go to my senior pastor and ask him about it. And I said, Pastor Woods was his name, and I said, Pastor Woods, I'm really feeling like maybe I should go into vocational ministry, like full-time ministry, and preach the gospel. And he said, instead of him saying, man, Dan, that's incredible. Yeah, I just want to encourage you. That's great, man. Pursue that. He said, can you think of anything else you'd rather do in life? And it kind of took me back, and I said, no, I don't think I can. He said, then pursue ministry, because it'll consume you. And when you get a hold of the call of God on your life, right? The call of God is not optional for those who choose to follow him. That's why we read in the scriptures, the disciples, when Jesus said, come follow me. I'm just rocked every time that I read that. This is, they dropped their nets and they followed him. Like, when we receive that call of God on our lives, that I just want to serve him with everything that I have. It's all consuming. Number four, the call of God is permanent and cannot be taken away. The call of God is permanent and cannot be taken away. Romans 11, 29, for God's gifts, that Greek word is charisma, the charisma of God, the gift or divine grace of God. Listen, you didn't earn it. There wasn't something great that I did in life to receive the call of God on me, right? It's a gift of divine grace, and his call are irrevocable. Another translation says they're not repentant of or unregretted. Like, God doesn't, yeah. Yeah, no, it's excellent, and I would add to that, each and every person, the scripture calls us the priesthood of believers. Like every single one of us, listen, we all have a divine call of God on our lives to proclaim Jesus, whether it's to your kids at home or to the coworker that you're next to at the fire department, right? Like each and every one of us have the divine call of God to proclaim Jesus. That is the overall arching. Now, how that works into your personality, your shape, is what we're going to talk about in just a second. Like, what does that mean? Can I be called by God to be like a herald of the gospel at the fire department? Yeah. Yeah, you can. Can I be called by God to be a missionary to the medical field? Absolutely. Like, you could stand in the fullness of God's call in your life at the place of business that you're at. You could be in the fullness of God's call in your life sitting in the home in the neighborhood that you're in. Right? Because you see that I'm called by God to spread the gospel wherever I am, in the profession, in the shape that I am. We're going to get to that. This lesson here is so exciting because it should set you free. It shouldn't burden you like I'm not like them or I'm not. It should set you free to be able to proclaim Jesus in all that you are. Autumn, in all of the purple hair that you are, girl, you share Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like we need to own who we are and who God's created us to be, for that call of God is permanent and cannot be taken away. God's hand on your life, right? He wants to use you and all of you. So let's talk about that. Your unique shape. What unique shape do you have? Some of you guys remember in Starting Point that we talked about this, and I'm going to fly through this just a little bit because it's a little bit of a review, but your unique shape, your spiritual gifts, a set of special abilities that God's given you to share his love and serve others, your spiritual gifts. Write down in your margins. You can visit this later. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Paul talks about the spiritual gifts. Your heart, the special passions God has given you so that you can glorify him on earth. And I love this. Listen, there are passions that you have been given in life. And let's be real transparent for a second. I had a passion for alcohol. As a 14, 15-year-old, I smoked a lot of pot, and I was passionate about it. That's stupid. I was passionate about getting to know. Listen, God can take the passions in your life, okay, and redirect those things. Are you hearing me? Like, the passion, the vigor that you have in this direction, God doesn't want to, like, eliminate all of that vigor and that passion. He just wants to redirect it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some things that we say, well, I just want to get rid of all of my past. And I never, listen, God wants to redeem those things and use those for his glory. And so a redeemed heart and even a changed heart, the special passions God has given you, abilities, the set of talents God gave you when you were born, which he also wants you to use to make an impact for him. Your special abilities. Jeremiah, your skateboarding skills, your nunchuck skills can be used for Jesus, man. I mean, come on. Fling them for Jesus, baby. That's what I'm talking about. But your abilities, like, how cool would it be if you just knew that God had anointed your abilities and he wanted to use that for the proclamation of the gospel, right? Your abilities, your personality, that's one of my favorite. There's not a single person in here that doesn't have personality. Some of us have different personalities. And I love how it says in our notes, the special way. Jeremiah, the special way. I'm just saying that God has wired you to navigate life and fulfill your unique purpose in his kingdom. That's why we can say with confidence that I'll never lock eyes with somebody that doesn't matter to Jesus. Right? Man, and the annoying person that you go to work with, God wants to use that annoying person to make a difference in somebody's life. And if you don't know any annoying people that you work with, you may be the one. You may be the annoying person. Your personality, your experiences, those parts of your past, both positive and painful, which God intends to use in great ways. Listen, God never wastes a hurt. Do you hear me tonight? God never wastes a hurt. That's why it's so important, even through encounter, that you get to a place where you can uncover some of those strongholds. Because many times God will take those strongholds and he'll turn them around and God will use them for his glory. Like the things that have caused pain in your life. Those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups. Like God wants to use those things to minister to somebody else. Because you're in that moment, or you're able to say, yeah, you know what, me too. Man, that's two of the most powerful words, especially as we're sharing our faith with people, is just to be able to say, you know what, yeah, me too, me too. I've got a lady, listen, I've got a lady that is part of this Leadership Nacogdoches group that I'm with. And one of the sessions that we were in, we're talking, and we were at a facility where we were talking through some different ministries in Nacogdoches that help people with mental disabilities, with physical disabilities, with child abuse cases, and all kinds of stuff. It was just heavy. It was real heavy. And this one lady in my class, she's just throughout the whole thing, it's just, golly, she's just bawling. And at one point, she gets up and she walks out, and we take a break, and she walks back in, and I just, you know me, I just came up to her, and I said, hey, man, you doing okay? And we began to talk through some stuff, and she's like, you know, this is just really, this really hits home on some different levels, and one of the levels has to do with some family members that are dealing with some dementia and some stuff like that. She said, it's just really heavy for me, and I was able to say, you know what, me too. And I was able to pray for her. And you know what? Ever since then, and that was months ago, ever since then, every time I see her, you know what she says? Hey, me too. Hey, me too. Guys, your shape, your experiences, knowing your story, it matters. It matters. And God wants to use every bit of that story for his glory. And that rhymes, and that's cool. Number two, what has God already spoken to you about your calling or your purpose? What moments, encounters, and encounters with God in your past did the Lord use to show you his calling on your life? Some of you already know what your calling is. Some of you, man, this is just good stuff. This is helping you to unpack that and discover what that calling is. What confirmation did you receive from God's word and from trusted Christian mentors or leaders in your life? Like, who has spoken that over you? There are things in our life that we're learning through the word, right? So as we're studying the scriptures, it's telling things about ourselves. You ever read through a scripture and says, man, I can relate to that. Boy, that makes sense, you know? As you're reading through some of those things, did you guys get that? What has God already spoken to you about your calling or purpose? Sorry, I kind of read through that quickly. Oh, it is, okay. Number three, what have you done with what you already know? Is that number three? What has God already spoken to you about your calling or purpose? Okay. Am I teaching the right lesson? Okay. If not, you know what? Just close your books. I'll finish preaching and we can get out of here. So what I'm going to ask you to do is in your let's transition to a little bit of group time here at your tables. You've got an exercise there, right? Look up and you're going to look at these scriptures, these different people, okay? They've got a call in their life. Okay, and they responded differently to that call. So take a few moments, read through those scriptures, and we'll come back and answer some of those questions in just a minute. All right. So you had your different people. Let's do this. Just give me a quick synopsis, right? We don't have time to go through all three of these questions, but what was the person called to do? Characteristics or personality traits you think that made them good candidates? What was the person's response? So just real quick, give me the Reader's Digest of what you guys discussed, and we'll start over here.
We put she the question?
Yeah.
Okay. And then for number two, what characteristics or personality traits do you think made them a good candidate for that specific calling? We put that she was favored by the Lord and that she was a virgin. And what was the person's response? And at first she was scared, surprised, but in the end she was receptive to what she was asked.
Yeah, big call, like scary, right? And many times when God places his hand on your life and you get a vision of what God wants you to do, it's a scary thing. And Mary was like freaked out, and the angel even said, hey, it's cool. Like, don't freak out. It's going to be all right. And I love her response. May everything that you've said about me happen. Guys, Jesus help us. God, may everything that you desire for me happen. I don't want to get to heaven someday and God say, boy, Dan, you missed out. If only you'd have just surrendered. I had so much more for you. Like, I want that heart of Mary, don't you? May everything you've said about me come true, Lord Jesus, right? What about you guys?
We had Saul Paul, and he was called to do, pretty much God came to him, on the road and said, go into Damascus. Went blind. They went in, took him into town, and, but he was, faithful and, yeah, did exactly what they were supposed to do, and also the person that was called, to go and lay hands on him. He was faithful too, and went, laid hands on him, and instantaneously he was, on board and down for it. So that kind of answers number three. But number two, why was he? The characteristics he had. We said he was educated. He had the background for it. He was persecuting, Christians, and but he had the experience and he had the education for it. So,
he was an outspoken person.
Yeah, and he was a very vocal person, yeah. So
what a great picture of even a guy that was so passionate, but just in the wrong way. And God took his zeal and turned it around and said, you're gonna go out and preach the gospel. That's what you're gonna do. What about you guys? Who'd you have?
Samuel.
Samuel? Okay.
Do what God said to do, wherever maybe. And then three, the response that he was, just went out and told the whole gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great story. That's one of my favorite Old Testament stories. A young guy that's just like, he's just, am I hearing things? Am I hearing things?
I'm thinking how awesome being sleeping close to the Ark of the Covenant, and being called.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Only certain ones, him being the that get to.
Listen, don't miss this principle right here, guys. Proximity to the presence of God equals clarity to the call of God. You're not going to get clear on what God's called you to do if you're not spending time with him, period. If you didn't just write that down, you should have. I'm telling you, proximity to the presence of God will give you clarity to the call of God on your life. You got to spend time with Jesus, everybody. You need to spend time in his word. Like, I don't know what God's call is on my life. Well, you gotta get close to him. That's what Samuel was doing. He was close to the presence of God so he could hear the voice of God. Yeah. Proximity to the presence of God will bring clarity to the call of God. Tweet to bull. Okay, we don't have time to go over. One more. Let's do one more. Get her done. Got her done. Let's not lose the fact that Noah was asked to do something that he had no idea what it was. Like, there's no blueprint for boats. There's not for an ark, Like, I want you to Google this. No, God's just like, hey, this is what's going to happen. And the thing about Noah was great. He walked with God, proximity, right? He heard God's call on his life, and he was able to walk that through. Okay. How much time do we have? What time is this class over? Okay. That's good stuff, guys. Hey, if you get a chance, go back through those in your study time. Go back through those stories there. We didn't get to Jonah. His response was negative. Like, he was asked to do a hard thing, and he was like, You bet, God, see ya. And he was gone, right? And God chased after him. Okay? You guys, and it really is a gift of grace. And I want to say that with all sincerity, like, God is going to bug you, and he's going to mess you up, because he knows his call on your life is like the best place that you can be. You know? And so, yeah, Jonah was fleeing from the call of God. He got onto a boat to head in a different direction, and somebody finally was like, "Hey, which one of you goofed up? Like, which one of you's running away from God? Because this is something unnatural is happening here." And there may become a time in your life where you're just like, things just don't seem to be going right. Like, I just can't get things to line up. You need to find that place back before God and say, "God, where have I got off track? You know, is it me? You know, God, is it me?" Walk in God's favor. It's good stuff. God is gonna, where God guides, he provides. That's for sure. Hey, let's walk through these real quick, and we'll end here. Responding to your call. How will you respond to God's call in your life? Number one, you'll either disobey and neglect your call. That's an option. You'll disobey or neglect your call, the rich young ruler. Was called to follow God and follow Jesus, and Jesus told him, he's, you know, what am I to do to inherit eternal life? Follow the commandments. I've done all those things. He said, one thing you lack, sell all that you have and come follow me. And it says that he turned away sad because he owned much wealth. Jonah, again, we talked about him, disobey or neglect. Number two, pursue your call with hesitation or reluctance. How do you respond to God's call in your life? Either you'll pursue your call with hesitation and reluctance. One of my favorite stories is the story of Gideon. I'm the least in my clan. My clan is the least of all clans. like I'm a nobody of nobody, right? And I'm down here in a wine press threshing wheat. And if you know anything about those two things, they don't go together. I'm hiding from my life down here. And God calls him a mighty man of God. Like, you are an incredible warrior, Gideon. And he's like, are you talking to me? You must be talking to somebody else. Moses, I'm a stuttering fool, right? But God wanted to use him. Number three, you may usurp others and the process to pursue your call. Usurp, that's just a fun word. Usurp, to seize and to hold a position, office, or power by force or without legal right. The pretender tries to usurp the throne, to use without authority or right, employ wrongfully. Absalom, one of David's sons, and this is part of a bigger story that started falling apart with David's disobedience. But Absalom is one of David's sons, and he sets himself outside the gate and tries to usurp David's authority. Gehazi He's another guy, and that's a great story. We don't have time to go through that. 2 Kings 5:20-27 is again. He's around the prophet Elijah, and it's a cool story. But like he tries to take things into his own hands. The book of Esther, she's the opposite of you usurping the call. Okay, number four, follow your call immediately and do it exactly as God has said to do it. There's Noah. You read, no question. Noah didn't question God. He just did it. So Noah did everything the Lord commanded. Abraham and Isaac. The next day, Abraham, when he was told to take Isaac up onto the hill, up onto the Mount Moriah, like there's no question there. He just loads up, and it says early the next morning, like he was quick to do it too. Like we need to be quick to do what God's called us to do. Follow your call immediately and do exactly as God has said to do it. And number five, completely fulfill and finish your call. Completely fulfill. 2 Corinthians 8:11, now finish the work so that the eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. John 17:4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And one other scripture I wanted to read, Philippians 1:6 from the Message says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to flourishing, to a flourishing finish on the day that Christ Jesus appears. So completely fulfill and finish your call. Jeremiah, you coming to close us out? Thank you guys for taking the extra few moments. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Dan. I came like filled to the brim already because I've had like all this time, you know, where I haven't been here and I've just been ready. But man, that was such a great word and really timely. I hope y'all enjoyed that. I hope y'all got something from that. The tweetable moment, it was awesome. Very good. Well, yeah. Hashtags, yes. So this is the part where I come up here and I say, okay, your homework for next week is yada, yada, yada. When I say the word homework, like, what do you feel? Like, somebody, give me some feelings. Huh?
Work at home.
Work at home. Yeah, but let's not be so literal. I know the word homework brings up some, what is it?
Dreading.
Good. So, I was back there, and I was looking at that, and I just kept looking at the word homework. And every week, I come up there at the beginning, or somebody comes up here and hosts and says, all right, now did you do your homework? You know, and you're like, God, I'm back in class again. And then I came up here just now, and I'm saying, hey, let's get ready to talk about our homework. And I'm thinking, like, I think the same way. When I hear the word homework, I don't think, oh, great, I get to go do this. No, you don't think that. You think, man, I'm dreading doing something. So let's try something. From this point forward, from going on, let's stop talking about doing homework. Let's not even call it homework anymore. Can we do that, like, as a group? But as a group, we need to figure out another word for it because I can't come up here and say, all right, it's time to do that thing that we do at the end of when you go home. Like, we need something. Like, I was trying to think of something really clever, and evidently I'm not as clever as I thought I was. So I was like, I'm just adding another word to work, and it still feels like grow work. Grow work? And that doesn't sound right. So, like, part of your not homework over the week is let's come up with something as a team. Yeah. But this shouldn't be something that we go home or walk away from here and feel anxious about doing or just dreading doing. This is something that, and as Dan showed so gracefully, just this is important. And our connection with God and the Holy Spirit, it comes through spending time in His Word and spending time in prayer. And this is not something that we should dread every single week. This is something that we should be passionate about. And if we're going to be moving forward towards the call that He's placed on our life, we can't do that if we're dreading doing something. So from this point forward, I don't want to talk about homework anymore, guys. I want this to be something that we're looking forward to leaving and doing at home, because this is something that we should be doing every single day. This is something that we should be passionate about, because this is something that's going to help us grow. This is going to be something that helps us fulfill that call no matter where we are, no matter what our shape is. We have to be passionate about this, not something that we dread. So from this point forward, let's not talk about that. So what... Yeah. Losing my watch. Yeah. Yeah. It's personal time. it's personal time, but it carries so much weight because what we do in our personal time and the development that we receive in our personal time with God, it's reflective in everything that we do and in everybody around us. Like the guys on the ship, like his mishandling of the call that God placed on his life put everybody's lives in jeopardy. And it's like I said a few weeks back, there's not an initial splash and that's it with the stone that's thrown in the water. It's a ripple effect. It can be a positive or a negative. So we should be looking and viewing what we're doing here in our quiet times and in these studies that we are given as not something that's laborious. It's something that's beneficial. Dan.
If we stuck with the gold from Golgotha series,
yeah.
Like this week we could pan for gold. Let's go pan for
yeah. gold. Yeah. And and what better treasure? Like, I mean, we're talking about old 80s things that we hear. I had an old pastor, and he's, treasures in heaven, brother. You know, he used to always tell me that. But I laugh, but it's so true. Those are the treasures that I want. Those are the things that I want to take hold of. And I want those things for you, too. I want you to be excited. I want you to walk in here, and you can't, like, get in here fast enough because you have something that God showed you and that you want to share with other people. That fire that Dan's talking about, I feel that. I feel that, and I it's hard to contain that. It really is, and I want y'all to feel the same way, guys. So we're not doing homework anymore. No more. I'm getting rid of it. I'm the teacher. I can do that. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to memorize Romans 11 and 29, and we used it this week, so it should be very easy. What is it? Anybody give it to me real quick? Whew. Perfect. So you should get this next week, right? Okay, perfect. All right. Another thing that I want y'all to do is, do y'all remember your shape profiles and doing your assessments from starting point? Does anybody like, yeah, some like kind of like the half shape? Yes. If you did that and you remember where those things are and you're that A type of personality who went and was like, oh, I got to file this away because it's super important. And you're not like others who are like, well, we finished this thing, so I'm going to throw this in the trash because I'm going to get more paperwork in Grow Track 1. If you're that type of person, you saved it, bring it next week, please. If you did not save it and you need one, we will have copies of that for you next week. But this is important because this is the point we're going to start really honing in on what God's really called you to do. And these assessments can kind of help you pinpoint that and kind of pick things out. So bring them if you've got them. If not, we're going to have some that we'll provide for you. Yes. Okay, I got some more announcements here. Easter is coming up, believe it or not. Y'all all have seen these cards. Probably doesn't look exactly like this, all pastel, which I love because I get to wear pastels. But Easter, and Dan's going to make fun of my pastel shirt that's too small. I had one on today, actually. But anyway, most of y'all are probably already diligent and y'all serve in like 15 different places. But if you do not and you say, you know what, I want to do something during Easter, we have 4 services, guys. We have Friday, Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. Get one of these cards that are on your table. Fill it out. Give it to us. Yes, ma'am. No, you can highlight kids' work because they need it. Yeah.
Not bad hard, it's just challenging hard.
Sure.
So I know some people are a little nervous about kid works and they maybe don't want to commit to serving on it all the time. This is a perfect time for you to, if you've gone through starting point and we do have to do background checks.
Yeah. That's right.
We need warm bodies that would be willing to come in and help and really fill in those spots. So
yeah.
I know there are a lot of really important ministries
sure.
and dream teams that can use your help, but just consider that.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something you thought about where you're a little nervous, you have an opportunity to test out the waters with
yeah.
it too. How it feels. But
plus you get to slide down the slide. That's a perk.
Yeah,
seriously, they'll let you slide once and then they'll never let you do it again. because you got to be with the kids. No, but she brings up a great point, because so some of these other areas, while every area is important, every area is needed, and we have numbers of volunteers that we need in each area, the kids' work is so important because those ratios need to be right for the safety in those areas. So consider that. And it is a lot of fun back there. I've been back there. It's great. Except for when my kids are there, and I'm just like, oh. They've got 20 of them. Yeah. I want the ones that don't talk, or I want, yeah. Yeah, everybody wants to hold the babies. Sure. Sure. Yeah, we got four. So I know we'll be serving at multiples, and so I'm sure a lot of you will be. But if you're not, please consider that. Fill it out and give it to us. Thank you. Water baptism is April 14th. If you have not taken that step and you have not been water baptized, I urge you to do that. We know it's not salvation. Dunking in water is not going to all of a sudden make you saved or do it. It's an outward sign of an inward commitment. And if you have not made that commitment, please do so. I'm going to tell you, it's something special. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. So if you have not taken that step, please do so. You can sign up at timbercreekchurch.com. Men's Summit 2019, it's May 16th through 18th in Dallas. If you have not registered and you want to go, you have to register by April 15th. You can do so at timbercreek.com/men. And we're not going to leave out the ladies. The ladies have a women's conference. It's October 10th through 13th in Springfield at the JQH Arena, which is awesome. By the way, we went last year, not to the women's conference, but we went to the men's conference, and it was phenomenal. I know they're going to put on a really, really great conference for you ladies. Same thing. Sign up at timbercreekchurch.com/women. All right, guys, I really enjoyed being here. Thank you for letting me sneak in a week early. Hopefully I did not bore you to death with my 80s infatuation and my tight shirt. That is it. Have a great night and a great week.